I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The owner of the Milwaukee Admirals, also minority stakeholder in the Milwaukee Brewers, Harris Tuer, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Harris, appreciate the time today.
Absolutely, Bill. It's great to talk to you.
Now, it's always fun to talk Admirals hockey. We will in just one second. But first, Harris, part of the ownership group of the Milwaukee Brewers, there was a lot of conversation. There's been a lot of business talk that we're doing on this show the last couple of weeks, and it's making me feel kind of dumb. Could you just explain to the listeners what operating costs entail for a sports team?
To your daily operations, I mean, you're talking about the business side of what you do on a daily basis. And so, you know, obviously, Mark clearly speaks for our ownership group, and I respect, you know, you have to respect what he says and how he goes about what he says. We operate a business, and I can tell you that, you know, I've been through this in the past where people start questioning that the team is making so much money and we're now skimping on payroll. I've been through this process, and you know, people don't understand the business of baseball. It's very complicated. And so we're in a period now where the team, I remember David Stern saying in the offseason, I mentioned it to you, Bill, that, you know, we're going to be doing things to try to acquire some more young, controllable talent. Our farm system is a little depleted due to, over the years, some of the trades and movement that we've made over time. And it was pointed out, hey, Christian Yelich cost us 4 prospects, whether they were, you know, a certain level, you know, how well they've done in the major leagues still remains to be seen, but we're still talking about a system that's been depleted. And so he wanted to go out and get some young players, Urias, Navarez. So you're starting to see some of those things happen, and that's what the team is trying to do.
And that is why we have you on the show, Harris, because I agree with you that most people do not understand how this whole process works or what all goes into it. So I'm trying to help get an education kind of for everybody. So you obviously are minority owner, and the Bucks have minority owners in their ownership group too. You were minority owner when Bud Selig was owner of the Milwaukee Brewers. So how does that whole thing work? Is it a, hey, look, here's our money, boom, we're bought in, and then you sit back, kick your feet up, and wait for the team to be sold, and then get your check, however much is coming to you? Or how does that process work as a minority owner?
Well, that's a great question, Steve. The big two differences that happened between Mark's ownership group and the C-League ownership group was the different type of corporations. One was an S-Corp. This is a limited liability corporation, so you have different processes. When it was the C-Leagues, we were run by a board of directors. I was a member of that board of directors. With an LLC, you do not have a board of directors. You have boards that are advisory in nature, but there are no boards running the team. Mark runs the team.
So that makes a lot of sense. Okay, so we helped figure that one out. So from the financial aspect of it, if the team makes a profit on a given year, do the minority owners see any of that, or do you guys not see anything until the team is essentially sold later on?
Do owners ever see anything? Sure, you may see something, but it's very, you know, there are so many things involved. So every year, so when the Brewers are going to do a big renovation of their minor league complex in Arizona, well, fine, you may make profit. There may be a number there, but then you have to run money through saying, well, we're going to be pouring into this, or projects at Miller Park, or any number of things that the team may do. So it's not so simple. It's just saying, you know, there's your income, there's your expenses, here's the bottom line, we all get the rest.
Right.
That
from the standpoint of them coming back to the minority owners and saying, hey, we want to do this. Can we get another extra X amount of money? Do those scenarios ever occur in your time as an owner over, I don't know, 100 years that you've been doing this?
They have happened. I can honestly say that, but they have not happened in Mark's,
right.
During Mark's time as an owner.
Talking with Harris Tour, minority owner of the Milwaukee Brewers, also owner of the Milwaukee Admirals, who will be retiring Darren Haydar's jersey tonight at the Milwaukee Admirals
My
game,
guy.
UWM Panther Arena. Harris, when you get into things like this, it's difficult for fans sometimes to think about it, but I always look at Mark Attanasio, and since working for you and being alongside you for the last couple of years, some people don't understand the fandom truly that does come from being an owner of the club.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the hard part, I think, for people to understand. They think it's just pure business. But, I mean, if you ever watch when the Brewers have celebrated and made it, you know, we've qualified for the playoffs or won around the playoffs, I mean, you'll see Mark right in the midst of the celebration. I mean, he is very much a fan. He lives and dies with every pitch. People may not know that or realize it, but he is a true fan of the team. So, and I think that helps. I think it makes him passionate about the team in every way, shape, or form. And I think Mark's done an amazing job. And I think people need to remember how successful this team has been since he's bought the team. There's been a lot of success, and I understand that people are passionate, and that's great. We want that passion. Never want to give it up, because when you lose that passion, you lose everything, and it's hard to get it back. And we appreciate that. But at the same time, please, I want people to know that Mark and us and this entire ownership group care so much about success of winning and losing. It's incredible.
And I've got one other one for you here, because this is another common misperception that I try to argue with people that don't want to listen to me. And maybe it happens once in a while, but it's not. I don't think it's common necessarily in professional sports. And that is the primary owner, whoever that may be, Mark Cuban or whoever, right? Primary owner of a sports team going into their own personal wealth to help supply money for the payroll in order to get more players versus operating within the budget set.
Right. So one of the things that people don't understand is that within Major League Baseball, there are rules. There are, like, let's say the owners of the Dodgers. They just can't go into their pocketbooks, write a check, and say, well, we're just going to pay this, unless they're willing to also write a check to the luxury tax. Okay? You read about it all the time. When the Red Sox traded Mookie Betts, they did so. Why? They don't want to be above the luxury tax threshold. That hurts them, this money. Then they pay a fine, a quote-unquote a fine in some people's minds. So there are many teams. The Cubs, they're trying to stay below that threshold. They don't want to go above. That doesn't mean their payrolls aren't higher than ours. But for the most part, there are rules when it's set within baseball. You cannot just go out and spend all this money.
How many conversations, Harris, and I wonder if this is you're privy to some of these conversations, but you just said it with the Cubs and the Dodgers. Obviously, their payrolls are more than ours. How many conversations like that, kind of tongue-in-cheek, do you guys have in the ownership group of, man, it just feels like we're sometimes bringing a knife to a gunfight each and every year with this payroll thing in baseball?
Well, there's a really interesting story in The Athletic today by Jason Stark regarding Francisco Lindor and how he would love to stay with the Indians. The Indians would love to have him, but the system, as is stated in the article, is broken. They're like a team like the Brewers. Can we keep Christian Yelich for the long term? That remains to be seen, but it's hard for the smaller market teams to keep their stars. The Dodgers never question, like, oh, well, we don't want to keep our star. It's up to them if they want to do it. But they never are pricing themselves out. It's just a matter of if they want to do it.
Yeah, it sure feels
so,
like...
It's unfortunate that this is the way the system is. It doesn't exist in any other league.
And no one's going to cry poor for the Boston Red Sox trying to avoid the luxury tax and trading away one of the best players in baseball.
Yeah, they've gone over in the past. This is nothing new. They've done this before. So they're just doing it now for whatever reason. I'm not in their ownership group, and I don't know the story. But they've done it in the past.
But at the end of the day, really, Major League Baseball, and even the NBA, who has a luxury tax as well, all want to be the NFL. I mean, you have their own CBA stuff going on right now, as we've been talking about that this afternoon, but right. Everybody wants that hard salary cap.
They want something to create some equity. And one of the problems that exists in baseball, now you do look at the playoffs and teams have made it that are in the smaller market range, but inevitably you've got a team that's got a pretty high payroll winning these championships. It's just the way it is in baseball. And in the NFL, the Packers, the smallest market in the NFL, Green Bay, can win a championship. They went all the way to the NFC championship this past season. They can qualify. They can get there. They can win this because of the way they share revenues in the NFL. And I know people say, well, they've got all their monies comes from TV, which is a national TV contract, versus baseball, which does have national TV deals, but mainly the big money is generated by local TV deals. The question becomes, do some of those, you know, how much of that revenue gets shared eventually?
And how difficult is it when those local revenues, like you just mentioned, Harris Stewart joining us here on the Wendy's Big Show for just a couple of more minutes, with the local TV deals and where the Brewers line up, that's just playing where you play, right? There's nothing that Brewers fans can do to change that spending, is there?
Let me tell you, our fans are incredible. We have our market's one of the smallest, yet we're always right near from the middle on up in attendance. We have incredible attendance, incredibly loyal fans who spend a lot of money to come to games. And if you don't respect that, something's wrong with you. But there's nothing the Brewers can do about the size of their market.
But see, that
our
was
market
brought
is
up.
Our market, and that's all what these deals are predicated on is the amount of people how many eyeballs can watch that TV.
Sure.
Harris, that was brought up the other day to us on Twitter, and people were just being like, what more can the fans do to help put them in a better situation financially? We're already drawing 2.5 to 3 million fans on a year-to-year basis. People are buying Brewers stuff all the time. You see it all over town. And so the fans are kind of feeling like, is there anything else more we can do to kind of help push this things forward?
I think you guys know, you see me at Brewer games. There is nothing more. The fans have been incredibly generous with their pocketbooks, coming to games, cheering the team. There's nothing more the fans can do, in my estimation. I wish we had a market in terms of how many people lived here that was like the size of LA, so that the TV deal was a fair deal, or New York, but that's just not where we live. And that's just a function of the marketplace. But there's nothing wrong with that. Considering the size of our market, look how loyal and how our fans turn out all over the state to come to games. I mean, sure, there are a lot of people from the area, but people come from all over the state for a game or for a weekend. It's incredible.
That's where the story from the Journal Sentinel of the market impact that Miller Park has had on the city of Milwaukee is just remarkable to see. The retractable roof, you brought it up, people coming from all over the state being able to attend Brewer games, and with that, the revenue has to have just been tenfold of what they've been able to achieve since the building of that 50th anniversary of Brewers baseball coming up, starting up March 26th. It's the 50th anniversary of Admirals hockey tonight. Darren Haydar's jersey going to be retired.
Love him.
Russell Dickerson tomorrow night. Harris, I'll be there maybe a little bit late, so I apologize, but I will be there ready to rock and roll for tonight's game, all right?
Tonight's going to be great and really special. If people don't have tickets, come out and honor one of the greatest admirals to ever don our uniform.
One of the smallest admirals ever don the uniform, too, probably.
Steve likes him because he thinks he's taller than Darren.
Yeah,
but I'm not positive.
Hey, it's pretty close. I've interviewed that dude like a dozen times. We're pretty close to one another. Yeah.
But just one of the most skilled, but also one of the nicest guys.
For
to
sure.
Ever play yep. for our organization. And it's an honor to be able to put his number up in the rafters tonight. So it's going to be great. And then tomorrow night, be a great game. And then we have a great post-game show with Russell Dickerson. If people don't know, he has a relationship to our area. His wife is from Cedarburg. So
all right.
Everyone from Cedarburg, come on down to the game and help celebrate and have a great time.
MilwaukeeAdmirals.com for tickets. Harris Tour, owner of the Milwaukee Admirals, minority stakeholder in the Milwaukee Brewers. Harris, really appreciate the time today, and we'll talk tonight, all right?
Thanks, guys. We'll see you.
See you later. That's Harris Tour, once again, the owner of the Milwaukee Admirals, minority stakeholder in the Milwaukee Brewers, joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Is your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space that it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.